Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Harry Palmer opens the next chapter of Office Wife.
I thought it was rather neat the way I maneuvered Master into asking me to go and stay at her place while this broken arm of mine finally mends. I made passing mention of how difficult it was going to be at my flat managing for myself. Gave the hot embers of her jealousy, you see, a few vigorous prods by nattering about Jeff and Stella, and bingo, out she came with a pressing invitation to come in under the eaves with herself and her Aunt Harriet Bendigo. Yes, pity about Aunt Harriet. But of course, you can't have everything. But on the other side of the ledger, there was this business of Stella hanging about the hospital yesterday. She pitched Marcia some yarn about waiting to catch Cedric Hooper calling on me. That's definitely not too good. Because Hooper, you know, has Angela Tennant's diary and is busy double-crossing Benny Puller and my old pal Jeff Pilgrim. Yes, I think it's an occasion for treading softly. Very, very softly. Till we know exactly what's underfoot. Well, the mail's arrived. It's not exactly a bag of fan mail, only one. Who the deuce is it from? From Hooper. Dear Palmer, we both have to be smart in future, because Jeff Pilgrim, just on a hunch he told me, seems to have half caught on to what we're doing. I talked him out of it yesterday, but I wouldn't like to say what he'd do if he ever found the pair of us together. So I'll have to pick and choose my times for seeing you with plenty of care. That's if I come near the hospital at all. And don't forget I'm in this deal with you for dough, not love. Get it? Good luck, pal. Cedric Hooper. Oh, well, there's nothing to worry about there. Provided Hooper doesn't put his foot in it. Poor old Jeffrey can have hunches till the trump of Gabriel's horn. He still won't have a feather to fly with where I'm concerned. Yes, everything still nicely under control.
Telegram for me?
Oh, thanks, Jimmy. Slam the door after you, will you? There's a good boy. Excuse me, Jeff.
Benny. Leaving here tomorrow, 10:30. Arriving, 12:50. Please have my car waiting at airport. Got me some dollars. The guards pull up.
He must have cleared up his dollar tangle sooner than he expected. Where were we? Oh, yes. Yes, Hooper's men yesterday had been tricked. He couldn't make up his mind whether to be wounded or indignant. But it doesn't matter two hoods. Because, as usual, I've drawn another blank.
Well, don't let it get you down, darling. It really was a frightfully long shot.
I know that. Yes, I know that. But it did seem to me that if there was anything going on between Hooper and Palmer, then making inquiries designed to connect Palmer with the death of old Mr. Bendigo might stir them up a bit.
Actually, you had vague hopes of following Hooper straight to the hospital and pouncing on him in Palmer's room.
Yes. All I succeeded in doing was making a fool of myself.
Hooper could be all right. I don't know. But whatever you do, Jeff, keep your chin up.
Well, I'm not going to start hanging my head or anything. But if only I could get one spark of luck, Palmer must have tripped up somewhere.
You're getting a fixation about the man.
Do you blame me? The way Palmer's got things organized, he couldn't have done better for himself if he'd rubbed Aladdin's lamp.
Yes? Oh, just a minute, Jenny. Miss Harriet Bendigo to see you, Jeff.
No, I'll see her in my own office.
Mm-hmm. Ask someone to show her to Mr. Pilgrim's office, will you, Jenny? Well, what is it this time, I wonder? Jeff, don't let her talk you into chasing after Marcia again, will you?
Well, that's not a fair question. Stick around if she keeps me late, Stella. I'll drive you home.
It's okay. Why can't she leave him alone? If I thought I could get away with it with Jeff, I'd have a word with Miss Harriet Bendigo myself. And maybe I will.
Do sit down, Miss Bendigo. You're looking well.
I'm not feeling it, Jeff. I'm sorry to pester you again.
Oh, you're not pestering.
Well, after the other night, I feel that perhaps I am.
Actually, Miss Bendigo, I owe you an apology for stamping out of your house as I did. But where Marcia and Harry Palmer are concerned, I'm afraid I'm not on my best behavior.
Oh, never mind. The other night's over and forgotten. Jeff, I've just come from a long talk with Percy Fleming, and he feels exactly as I do about Palmer managing our firm.
Naturally. Perhaps I shouldn't ask, but would he be financially embarrassed by being dropped by Bendigo?
I don't think so. He's fairly well off. No, he's worried simply on account of the firm.
Why doesn't he tackle Marcia himself?
Oh, he says he doesn't feel he should be asked to. Best will in the world, you can hardly expect a man of Percy Fleming's age to take kindly to being pushed aside by a slip of a girl he's known from infancy.
Yes, I quite understand how he feels there.
And he also says he's not going to argue with Marcia about Harry Palmer, because his own position is involved. And it would be like pleading to retain his job.
Am I being asked to intervene again?
Yes, Jeff.
Well, it goes against the grain. If Marcia wants to make a rod for her own back, let her.
Everything I own is in Bendigo and Company too, Jeff.
Oh, yes. Yes, I've forgotten that.
Even the house I live in is part of Marcia's estate. I have a life occupancy by right. When all said and done, the place is hers.
And with Palmer holding the reins, you feel... Well, you feel almost dependent on Palmer.
In a sense, yes. Purely through the whim of a headstrong girl.
Bundling Percy Fleming out and substituting Palmer could hardly be called a whim.
Nevertheless, it's being done just to spite you. I know it is. Jeff, I implore you, do see Marcia and use every scrap of your influence with her.
But Miss Bendigo, she won't listen to me.
No, she certainly won't listen to anyone else.
I really don't know what to do. When do you want me to come along?
She'll be home tonight.
Definitely?
I'll see to it myself. I won't tell her you're coming. I'll think of some excuse to keep her home, and you can just walk in.
Oh, I hope I won't get the door slammed in my face.
I don't think that's at all likely.
No, all right, then. Somewhere about 8 o'clock?
I'll be expecting you. And, Jeff, you've no idea how much I appreciate what you're doing. I can never forget that you should be slamming your door in my face. Why don't you?
Oh, I don't think life would be much fun if we went about bearing malice and spending it.
Oh, you're a good boy, Jeff.
No. No better than anyone else, I don't suppose.
Why did this wicked, wicked, tragic thing have to happen? Oh, well, it has happened, and that's all there is to it. Oh, I mustn't keep you any longer. I'll run along now, and we'll see you this evening at 8.
That's right. Goodbye, Miss Bendigo.
Goodbye, Jeff.
So Palmer gets Bendigo and company. Palmer gets my wife. Not if I can help it. I've got to put a stop to it. Somehow.
Harry, listen to me. Before we finally get rid of Percy Fleming, are you absolutely certain you know enough about the firm to run it for me?
Of course I do.
Really, Will?
I could run Tressida Bendigo and Company under ether, Marcia. What are you worrying about?
Oh, I just wanted to be sure before we take any steps we can't retrace.
Hey, you make it sound as though putting me in as your general manager was sort of burning your boats.
It's not that, but once Mr. Fleming's gone, I
can't quite see him ever coming back again.
What will you ever want him back for Pete's sake?
I'm just being silly, I expect.
You wait till I get really cracking. I've got ideas, you know, Marcia. We're going to get accounts bigger than anything we've ever handled before. The money will simply roll in. I can scarcely wait. Oh, not only to take over, but for tomorrow as well. I'm dying to get out of here and over to your place. Hospitals? I've had them.
You can be patient for another 24 hours. Oh, just look at the time. I must bolt. Aunt Harriet will be keeping dinner waiting for me.
What time will I see you tomorrow?
Around about 11. You have enough cigarettes to last you, haven't you?
Time, thanks, darling.
Goodbye now.
Bye. Oh, fair stands the wind for Tressiter, Bendigo and Company. They'll jump when I crack that whip. No more bosses, eh? No. I'll be the boss. Me, Harry Jefferson Palmer. And we're almost there.
I'm sorry I was late, darling. The time simply flew.
Never mind, Marcia. I'm glad you're home now. I hope you're not going out tonight.
Why?
Oh, I think I'm getting one of my heads again.
Oh, you poor dear. Of course I'll stay home and look after you. We'll have a quiet evening and you can get an early night.
I don't think I'll go to bed too early, head or no head.
Why? We're not expecting anyone to call, are we?
Hmm?
I said we're not expecting anyone to call.
Well, there's no one coming to see me.
In that case, there won't be anyone dropping in. Now, come along. Let me fix that lamp so it doesn't glare in your eyes.
I've no more a headache tonight than you have, Marcia. And we will be having a visitor. It's been hard enough getting you and Jeff together tonight, so I only hope something good comes out of it. But I have my doubts. Very much afraid matters have gone too far altogether. Well, we'll soon know the outcome. Jeff will be here in an hour or so.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.